Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
Right, this is Pure Decking, show number 228 for July the 21st, 2016. I'm Morps, and this is the show about stuff that interests me, like how we're currently governed by the most offended, information security, and hiding from the helicopters. I am finishing off the last of the Newcastle in the house, as tomorrow I intend to buy bourbon. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Sam Adams Heaven or Hells.
Interesting. Well, which is it?
So far, it's a bit more heavenly. It's a wheat beer from Sam Adams. It's not bad.
Nice. Wolf, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Pilsner beer.
Okay.
All the Pilsners or a specific brand of Pilsner?
No, the brand is Pilsner.
The brand and the type. That is...
It's old-style Pilsner beer. It's just a domestic, like, shitty local beer. Or not, yeah, not local, but, yeah, shitty
and
beer.
Finally, are you? What are you drinking?
I've got a nice Valium smoothie right in front of me, because I was dope sick as fuck last night.
Fair enough. So, let's go ahead and dive right into it here. Well, before we dive into it, I've made a huge mistake. I went ahead and installed Pokemon on my phone.
Why?
Faggot.
I thought I'd give it a shot, see what it's, you know, see what's going on with it. Yeah, it's basically like a crappier version of Ingress. So, I don't know.
Get off my board, you normie.
Yeah, it's... The novelty wears off fairly quickly, especially when you're kind of walking around the neighborhood and there's nothing. it's like, what am I doing? I'm walking around staring at my phone for nothing. Literally, there's nothing on the screen. So it's like, it's just, you know.
It's the Illuminati's way of getting rid of the stupid people through motor vehicle accidents, getting hit.
You see, now I played it smart, stayed out of the road, and had a gun in my pocket, so I was not as concerned. You think I'm kidding?
No, that's...
People are getting fucking mugged playing that game. I wouldn't have that shit.
So many children in my basement. Thank you, Pokemon Go.
And they're all applauding.
Mm.
I don't know.
From what I understand, the novelty wears off because it's not even close to being a Pokemon game.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you tap on the one of the little monster things, and you have to swipe to throw a ball at it, and that's the game, is finding them and doing that, and it's like...
Did you go to one of the Pokestops to get items and then go to a gym where you could fight Pokemon?
No, because I was specifically going on foot for this, and to have to go to one of those, I'd have to walk across the interstate, and that seemed like a bad idea.
See, that's how people are dying. They're collecting monsters on one area of the interstate, walking across the other one to actually use them.
So, yeah, I'm not... I have no intention of, you know, walking off a cliff or any other retarded... I just kind of wanted to try it out, so... Especially because, like, half the people at work are playing it, and it's just like, what the fuck?
One of the best Irish pubs in the world is in your area... And I think it's a Pokestop, so you can go in there, get some great food, get smashed, and get items.
We'll talk after the show, because I'm curious what pub that is.
Resets every 15 minutes, so you could just lounge and get more stuff.
Just sit there, get smashed, occasionally pull out your phone. Dude, I got another one!
It's actually, a lot of bars have been attempting to get in the game, just because it boosts business that much right now while it's hot.
You know, I could see that.
Yeah. I was reading an article, a coffee shop went up, I think it was 75% profits when it became a Pokestop.
That's awesome.
The owner actually employed a second person to just sit there all day throwing out eggs or some shit to get more people in. But actually, Pokemon is creating jobs.
There was a guy I talked with last week, actually, who he owns a small coffee shop, not terribly far. And there's also another one just up the road, like a Starbucks or whatever. Well, apparently the Starbucks is on the Pokemon map, and his isn't. And it's driving him mad because he can't even get... He can't get anybody in the door, yet he's sitting there watching everybody run up to the Starbucks or whatever. So,
well, that sucks.
Yeah. Okay. I just had to respond to the bad joke there. And let's get into this. This is kind of interesting. I got the article from Fusion, but I think it was on Ars Technica and a few other places. Last month, law enforcement officers showed up at the lab of Anneli Jane, a professor at Michigan State University. Jane wasn't in trouble. The officers wanted his help. Jane is a computer science professor who works on biometric identifiers such as facial recognition programs, fingerprint scanners, tattoo matching. He wanted to make them as difficult to hack as possible. The police were interested in the opposite of this. They wanted him to help unlock a dead man's iPhone. So...
Perverts.
Jane and his PhD students, Sunpreet Arora, God, these names, could not share details of the case since it's an ongoing investigation, but the gist is that a man was murdered, and the police think there might be clues as to who murdered him stored in his... Really? You really think that? It's like, here, let me Instagram this as I'm getting stabbed. I mean... they can't get access to the phone without his fingerprint or passcode. So instead of asking the company that made his phone to grant them access, they're going to another route, having the Jane Lab create a 3D printed replica of the victim's fingers so that they can unlock the phone.
Whoa. Hang on. The investigator to the crime who has a dead man's body who has fingers...
Who decomposed.
You think? Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the actual answer. I read an article about this.
Okay, all right. Moving right along.
If it's due to dehydration, can't they just rehydrate the finger? I've seen them do
that. Dip the dead finger in a glass of water for a bit?
It's pretty much the way they do it.
Yeah, I've watched Bones. That's how it's done.
Well, I think what they're wanting to do is they want a device so that they can unlock the phone in the evidence room without having to have the corpse right there.
That's what makes Thursday so much fun in the lab.
Hey, guys, we got pizza. And it's on the table. I mean, Jimmy. we don't know which finger the suspect used, he told me by phone. So they're going to recreate replicas of all 10 digits.
Oh, wow.
Now, on one hand...
there's only five, so they need to do both hands more, but you can't do on the one hand.
Thank you, Madman. Thank you for that. So, a 3D printed finger alone can't unlock a phone. Most fingerprint readers are capacitive, which means they rely on closing tight electrical circuits. The ridges of your fingers cause some of these circuits to come into contact with each other. Blah, 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 blah. 3D plastic isn't. So, they coated the 3D fingers in a thin metallic particle so that the finger scanner can read them. But you can get conductive filament. I've got like two rolls of the stuff. So, anyways, it's not foolproof. But basically, they... pretty much were able to do it. Now, they had access to the original hands, but, it gets murky, and they're like, well, we don't know if this, what this really is, because obviously in this case, the guy's a victim, and he's dead, so they're trying to get into the phone to solve the murder, but if they've got you in custody, and they can just Xerox your hands, is using the fingerprint reader such a good idea on your phone?
I'm wondering why they just didn't go to the phone company with a nice warrant or an affidavit from the executor of estate or any of the surviving kin and just have the phone unlocked.
Well, they don't say what make of phone it is, but after the bullshit, I'm willing to bet it was an iPhone. The article even says we don't know what kind of phone the person had, but a few readers pointed out with many modern phones, a passcode required if you haven't used a fingerprint in over 48 hours. So they unlock the phone and then hit the passcode. So, I don't know, man. They're still going to eventually have to do it anyways. But, I mean, they've got the fucking body. So if you're going to Apple and, like, he's dead. We're investigating it. Would you please unlock the phone? Of course, Apple claims they don't have any way to do it anymore. So,
bullshit.
But they don't have any way to unlock the phone, but I'm willing to bet they got a way to unlock that iCloud backup. So, or Google, if it's...
Yeah.
It's more likely Apple, because the reason they wouldn't want to go to the phone maker right away is because Apple just won that big profile case a couple of months ago. So they've got no legal ground to stand on without a really airtight warrant.
I mean, if they waited this long, they're grasping at straws. If the guy's decommed, then odds of finding the murderer, very rare. They're grasping at straws.
Well, at this one, I'm fairly certain his family wants him found. His stuff can become their stuff as soon as he's dead. So the executor of the estate can request that be unlocked.
So the article continues on here talking about Fifth Amendment issues and how if you know a passcode to your phone, that's considered, you know, something you know and can be protected. But, you know, your fingerprints are something that physically is, so those aren't. It gets into murky area real quick, and they say, well, basically we need to just consider your phone an extension of your mind. And it's like, well, that's kind of a way to do it. I don't know that that's the best way. So, I mean, in this case, the guy was a murder victim, and they're trying to solve the crime. So I kind of get where they're coming from. Although, again, unless the guy was fucking Instagramming it. I
just like to go on public records to state that my hard drives are not an extension of me in any way fucking possible. Anything found on there has nothing to do in representation of my physical being.
So you're running Freenode, or your Freenet notes. Got it. Yeah, no, that's what it does. It creates partitions on the drive and copies other people's shit there. So absolutely. You want to claim that ain't yours? Yes, sir. I have installed Freenet.
Yeah.
So I have no idea where it came from. I don't know what you guys had. That is a lot of pictures of cats. I don't know how they got there.
I've just been leaving my ports open and my IP available for anyone on 4chan to use as a storage drive.
I have a permit for the cage in the basement, but all the pictures on the computer, yeah, fuck, I don't know.
What you're talking about.
So,
yeah, I run an open public Dropbox.
Be surprised what crazy things the internet has found and put on my computer.
So I just took a USB extension lead and ran it out to the wall and made people think it was one of those drop boxes. They were actually just dropping things on my hard drive. And I've always been worried that somebody would, like, you know, the picture you always see where somebody, you know, mortared a USB drive into a wall.
Yeah.
I'm always worried that you're going to see, you know, somebody who's like a dick who, you know, ran like a mains voltage line to that thing.
That's why I won't plug into them.
And no shit, right?
I don't trust it, because that's what I'd do.
That's what I'd do, too. Like, oh, some hipster thinks he's being really clever. Zap. Yeah. Then here comes the lawsuit. You electrocuted me. You hooked something up to my building. I can't help that you don't know what you're doing.
Yes, you've got third-degree burns, but I'm suing you for theft of my electricity.
So, I don't know, it's kind of a cool use of a 3D printer. 3D print dead man's hands so you can unlock the phone.
Oh, yeah, and you know, yeah. Like, I'm sure, like, if you actually had it set up right, you'd probably actually follow the ridges on the finger with the print head. So you can actually, like, really get the pattern down.
Well, that would be that you'd have to hand G-code that, because I don't think a slicer would do it.
No, that, like, well, there's no like commercial program that'll do that, but maybe they can get somebody to write them something, or who knows.
Well, there was an article on Hackaday earlier this week that was talking about manually fucking with G-code via Perl scripts, so that might be a way to go. Go ahead, Arjun.
So they had these man's fingerprints on file, because if he was too decomp for them just to use the... Yeah, so...
Well, I'm sure they fingerprinted the corpse as soon as they picked it up. That's normal practice.
I think the corpse that they found was too decomposed, like, initially. So I think that, yeah, it's...
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. He had to have had fingerprints on file, so either he was a government worker or he'd been pre-arrested for something else.
Well, or they went to his house and dusted.
Well, you know, too, they went to a forensics expert, somebody who knows about biometrics. So it's like, well, here's the fingerprints we got off the corpse. Can you reconstruct them and then 3D print them, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's why they're in the big bucks and I don't.
I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I don't think my 3D printer would do it, at least not right now, but it's at least working again, so there's that. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just use the conductive filament. I don't know why they had to put a coating on it. So, like, one of the example uses of that conductive filament is to make a touchscreen styluses. I don't know why you need to 3D print that. You just break off a piece of the filament, and there, you have a stylus. But, you know, whatever.
Because you want it to look cool.
Yeah, you know, you want it in some shape or something. But yeah.
Everyone wants their stylus to look like a lightsaber.
Damn it, Madman, I'm going to have to print that now.
Lightsaber.
A little lightsaber will work the phone. Well, you'd print the hilt of the lightsaber in like a PLA or something else. And then... Damn it! Got me on that. So, I don't know. I just...
Can the conductive filament be red?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet, you're a Sith.
I think mine's black, but yeah.
Red. Probably,
you can order it in whatever color you want.
Oh, dear Jesus, that's a corgi mated with a Dalmatian.
Okay.
I think that's
are you using that weird part of the internet again?
Yeah, I think that's signal to move on. I agree. So, yeah, Aryu's obviously bored of that story. The first one I have for regular news articles tonight. France has warned Microsoft on their data collection. The American company has 3 months to comply. Where was it? The French National Data Protection Commission has issued a formal notice to Microsoft regarding Windows 10 privacy and security concerns. The agency, along with other European countries in the Article 29 Working Group on Data Privacy, has been investigating Microsoft since the release of Windows 10 last year. The CNIL has been responsible for data privacy law in France since 1978. Yesterday, CNIL, I'll get it right eventually, Chairwoman Isabelle Fauque-Perrin, Perrotin? I don't know. I'm American. Publicly served Microsoft Corporation formal notice telling them to stop collecting excessive data and tracking browsing by users without their consent. So Microsoft has actually issued a response, basically shrugging their shoulders and saying, "We don't know what they want, but we're happy to comply." So
yeah, they want a checkbox saying it's okay for you to spy on me. Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. What you do is you stick it in the EULA and you make it the accept button.
Yeah, well, that's basically what they're going to do. So, but yeah, you know, yeah, Microsoft, I don't have the link anymore, but yeah, Microsoft did put out a reverse statement saying, "Well, we're perfectly willing to work with the French government. We don't really know what they're on about, but we'll look into it." So it's like bullshit, you don't know what they're on about.
Yeah.
Did they do the same thing with Siri and with Amazon? Because both of them have tracking in some of their products. Well, Siri is tracking.
No, but I think they're going after Microsoft because of the way they kind of forced it down everybody's throat.
That's the problem I have. If you're going to be enforcing a law, you enforce it consistently against everyone. You don't pick and choose your victims.
You haven't been paying attention lately, have you?
I know. Everyone's judged differently. That's the problem. The law should be universally applied to all people, regardless of whether or not your name is Clinton.
I was waiting for it, too. I was going to say, tell that to Hillary Clinton, but, you know. Hey, you gotta love that Comey sat there and read out exactly everything she did wrong. Like, yeah, and we're not gonna, you know.
And I love it. We can't prove gross negligence. The first paragraph of his statement was the definition of gross negligence. But back on tech news, they should apply the standards universally to everyone who's attempting to track your ass. And I'm fine with people tracking me, I just want to know they're doing it so I can either not use their product or fuck with their stats.
And that's exactly why they don't want you to know, because both of those are options they don't like. So, all right, next article is from Tech Dirt, and well, basically just pissed Madman off, so this is going to be fun. AT&T lobbyists have been happily getting laws passed for 15 years with little attention by the media. What was the law? I skipped a paragraph here. AT&T's gruesomely cozy relationship with many state legislators has severely damaged broadband expansion and adoption across huge swaths of the country. That's particularly true in Tennessee, one of 19 states where AT&T lobbyists have literally written protectionist state laws defending AT&T's monopoly from broadband competition. AT&T's goal has been to stop the rise of public-private partnerships, which have only emerged as direct response to AT&T's apathy. AT&T's lobbyists have been happily getting such laws passed for 15 years with little attention by the media. It began to change that with the rise of efforts like Google Fiber, which more clearly illustrated how public-private partnerships have become essential in building broadband competition to countless areas incumbent ISPs deemed not profitable enough to care about. Last year, the FCC finally woke up from its long slumber and stated preemptive measures in North Carolina and Tennessee that hindered municipal broadband from expanding. Tennessee's response has been to sue the FCC, claiming the state's rights were violated, and that as the lawsuit hammered out in the courts, Tennessee state leaders have been forced to respond to an increasingly annoyed citizenry, one that's slowly woken up to AT&T's role in keeping Tennessee a broadband backwater. Part of this effort by Tennessee's leaders have been to fund a new study taking a closer look at the state of broadband in Tennessee. While some have thought the study would be used to obfuscate the state broadband problems, the full survey has been released and it doesn't pull any punches. The study ranked Tennessee 40th in terms of overall broadband investment and availability and found that 13% of households lack any access to high-speed broadband internet service whatsoever. The study found that the vast majority of Tennessee residents still get internet access through slower services like DSL wireless or dial-up, either because that's all that's available or they can't afford the faster options. The bright spot in the Tennessee report is Chattanooga. So, study does yeoman's work of specifically avoiding citing AT&T's campaign cash stranglehold of the state leaders. So, on and on and on. But basically, I'm paying attention to it because obviously I'm in the Nashville area. But, you have Chattanooga, which set up their own municipal fiber and has been sued by AT&T like four or five times for doing it. And, the rest of the state gets AT&T and then your local cable if they service your area, and that's fucking it. I know several people who, where they live, they're basically told by AT&T to go pound sand when they try to get broadband because, the trunk's just full.
We're not going to expand.
Yeah, we're not going to expand. In fact, one of them even went so far as to find who owned the other trunk, because he found another trunk in the area up the road.
Yeah.
And he called them up, and they looked into it, because they were going to run a line from that trunk to his house, because it was only 500 yards or something like that. There was a route that wasn't crazy, yeah. And he was just going to pay for it, right? And AT&T stopped them. Basically said, no, this is in our territory, and if you run a line, we're going to sue you. And so he said, well, but you're not going to service me. Why should they not be allowed to service me? And AT&T said, if you run the line, we're going to sue you. So not only were they not selling him internet access, refusing to provide him internet access, they were actively preventing this guy from getting internet access.
Wow.
It's like, holy shit. It's like, competition is good, people. If you had three ISPs to pick from, none of them would be filtering. They'd all be fast, and the prices would be competitive.
They would be like ordering a pizza. Everyone's $10. All the toppings you want, large pizza.
No shit, right?
Yeah. But so, as far as Tennessee suing the feds, I'm completely fine with that. They should be protecting their rights as a state. They want to be fucked up. It's their God-given right as a state to be fucked up. The people of Tennessee need to be watching their legislators and shooting them when they're granting monopolies to any company.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, that's the big problem I'm seeing with it as far as this goes is, whether it was done at the state level or the municipal level, none of them should have been granting AT&T a monopoly.
Well, but I don't think any service provider should be granted a municipal monopoly. I mean, if for things like the electrical grid, I understand why it makes sense, because you don't really want to fuck up some things like that. That's how you get, you know, switching stations that explode. But I think there are ways to handle that without just having the government step in and say, you shall be the provider for this area.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as soon as the FCC stepped in, I think Tennessee should have sued them. All happening within Tennessee's borders, the Fed shouldn't care. And then the citizens of Tennessee should wake up and take a shit over everyone that voted to give AT&T a monopoly. And possibly even take them to state court.
Well, that's just it, is nobody in Tennessee voted for that. The legislator did it, and if you look into it, the lobbyists are basically giving them stupid amounts of money to keep it that way.
You can start graft charges. You can go in them with RICO. There's lots of things the state citizenry can do or a prosecutor could do if they had the balls. But you can vote all the bums out. You can repeal the stupid laws. Not only can you repeal the stupid laws, I think Tennessee has a large enough population that AT&T doesn't want to get kicked out. They could possibly even vote a nice, horrible tax on AT&T just to punish them for fucking them over a few years.
Well, so the problem with that is that AT&T would never actually pay that tax. It would just pass that cost on.
All taxes and all fines on any company is being passed on, unless you actually go after the executives of that company, which if any of them are within the jurisdiction of Tennessee, you could try, or you could even try to issue arrest warrants and have them extradited to your
staff. That'd be awesome.
Now,
that would be awesome.
Whereas possible, it's not going to happen, although it is giving me a bit of a chubby.
Madman, quick, look out the window. A unicorn's running past.
Unicorn!
Those are farting rainbows for you?
Sparkly ones. Sparkly fucking rainbows. Glittering everything.
Well, you were saying something about having a hell of a time getting a decent internet connection up where you are.
Oh, yeah. It's not so out where I am. It's not so much because of a monopoly. It's because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and it costs a ton of money to actually bring infrastructure out here for very little payoff. And that's kind of how most of the province is here. Actually, lots of places in Canada, a lot of really isolated communities and stuff.
Yeah, see, so where I am, I'm only less than 100 miles outside of Nashville. I don't want to give a too specific area. It's like, you just step and track me down. It's like, oh, fuck. So, it's like, it's a radius, but pretty good size radius, I'd say. 100 miles around Nashville, that's decent enough chunk of area to search for. But
you could say Nashville, and that would be a decent enough chunk to search for.
I want to make it more fun. It's like an Easter egg hunt.
If you find the morphs, you get a candy bar and a 45 caliber round.
Kicking the nuts. quit telling people what caliber of the gun in my car is.
It's been a 9, and 45s are very common.
Anyways, speaking of shitty telephone companies, this Verizon story is all over the place, too. I happened to get it from Yahoo Tech. Subscription to Verizon, or subscribe to Verizon to use a lot of its data, you may find yourself without services soon. Droid Life reports that beginning on August 31st, Big Red will disconnect grandfathered unlimited subscribers who use extraordinary amounts of 4G LTE data each month. And unfortunately, they didn't actually bother to define what an extraordinary amount is. Verizon will not publicly divulge a figure. Instead, users who run afoul of the carrier's threshold will be notified individually via mailer and bill messages. From that point forward, they'll reportedly have two choices: switch to Verizon's more restrictive tiered Verizon plan, or face disconnection. Folks who opt not to swap by August 31st will have 50 days to reactivate their line on a Verizon Plus subscription plan, according to Droid Life. So, yeah, Your unlimited plan is not unlimited. And they're not going to agree what the limit is.
They agreed to unlimited.
They're breaking contract.
Yeah, which is why they're not going to charge the early termination fee. They're just going to cancel the contract.
But it's a contract.
And
there's usually clauses for getting out of those, yeah. But it's still a dick move to do.
They started shooting out the warnings basically today. The move comes a week after Verizon revamped its data plans, larger data allotments, higher prices, and new features aimed at curbing overages. Carryover data lets subscribers... Okay, so they've got rollover minutes for your data. Data boost gives you a temporary 1 gig of 4G for a one-time charge of $15, and safety mode supplants data overage fees with a $5 monthly feature. Free on Verizon's pricey XL and double XL plans. That mode automatically throttles speed to 128 when you run over instead of just turning you off.
Your contract and see if they have the option to terminate it themselves. There's a chance they don't, and if they don't, make yourself rich off of Verizon.
You know,
at least
make
your
lawyers,
phone bill free.
They have had their lawyers go up, down, left, and right over those contracts to make sure that they can pull this shit off. Now, this raises a question, though. If you have a grandfathered plan on a provider that's not pulling these kind of shenanigans to get people off of them, I wonder if you can start just selling those plans, you know, for significant amounts of money.
Probably not, because I do believe they're wording on all contracts to say this is between you and me.
Yeah, those are hard to transfer, but still, I mean, fuck, I'm thinking it'd be like the large capacity magazines when they go about banning those things. It's like, well, they can't ban the ones you've got, they can only ban this fill of new ones. So the old ones suddenly get a lot more valuable.
Yeah, but usually when they ban the sell of them, they ban the sell of them. So the ones you already have, you have, but it's illegal.
Well, that never stops anybody.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's why you can buy pot in all 50 states, even though it's illegal in all 50 states.
No, it's not. Two of them.
No.
No.
It's illegal in all 50 states.
Yeah.
We signed a... fuck, why am I blanking on this? When two countries enter into an agreement, what the hell is it called?
A treaty.
We signed a treaty with many, many countries banning opium, marijuana, and a few other illicit substances. It's illegal in all 50 states. Until the U.S. pulls out of that treaty, no state can make it legal, and the feds can go into any pot dispensary in any state, arrest the proprietor and anyone they see smoking weed, and thanks to the proprietor of a legal establishment probably keeping records for tax purposes for that state, the proprietor has already built an airtight case for the feds to lock him up for the rest of his life.
Damn.
So yes, selling marijuana, and that's one reason I like using this as an example, is illegal in all 50 states, and you can buy it in all 50 states. Some of them are nice enough to put signs in their windows for both you to find the pot and the feds to come arrest them if the feds want to. Now, luckily, our current president has said he will not allow that to happen, but it is literally one presidency away from changing if a president ever decides to change it. That's one reason WHIM laws are stupid and you should always enforce all of them universally, because there are people putting lots of money in building what I consider a legitimate business that could have it removed tomorrow. And it's also why many major banks still won't do business with dispensaries, even though they're legal within those jurisdictions.
So just to round out the article here, Verizon is not the only one guilty of throttling unlimited customers. AT&T reduces the speed of customers on legacy unlimited data plans after they hit 5 gigabytes of 4G LTE a month, at times and in areas that are experiencing network congestion. T-Mobile throttles customers who use more than 21 gig in a billing cycle, and Sprint reduces the speed of subscribers who hit 23 gig in a 30-day period. None go so far as to threaten the customers with disconnection. So, they had some letter from Tom Wheeler, and they're saying that this is strange. So,
better way of fixing this,
I don't know,
is switch your contracts to being renewed yearly. That's the way insurance companies got around from, it's a contract, you can't raise my rate. Like, yeah, it's a contract that ran from this date to this date. Do you wish to renew now? If you wish to renew, here are the new terms of our new contract.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't want to sell, if they honestly don't want unlimited plans, just stop offering them. You know, say, no, look, we know it's a contract, but it has an out for us where we're not going to be, you know, stuck paying fees or anything like that. Of course, they can't charge you disconnection fees or anything or force you into another plan. All they can do is end the contract, and if that means you have a phone that, you know, you've renewed lately, so they'd be out whatever the cost of the phone or whatever, well, that's just what they'd have to bite, because they want to change the terms. They want to change the terms of the game. They got to pay the consequences for that. This kind of bullshit is them trying to say, no, we always get the best deal, not you. We want to change the game now that you've been playing it, and we realized we, you know, should never have offered this. So now they want to change the game, and because they can't change the game in a way that favors them directly, they're doing it in these roundabout weird ass ways of claiming it's network management and all this
stuff. And what really pisses me off about stuff like this is, like, they obviously thought they could afford it back when they offered these plans. And, like, really, they should be keeping up with their infrastructure. If their bandwidth requirements are increasing, they shouldn't, like, throttle all their customers. They should increase their infrastructure.
Well, that's
not what they're doing.
Yeah, but they don't want to invest. We all know the story behind that, though.
Where they
don't want to invest in their infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, but they've taken money from the government to do it and then just pocketed it.
It's the government. Everybody screws them over. Although, to be fair, I've had my unlimited plan since 3G was considered a thing. So, it's like, oh, that's the new hotness is the 3G.
And I could see them saying, okay, it's unlimited at the rate that we had when it was unlimited. If they wanted to make that argument. But just cutting you off, unless it's something you have to renew, it's fucked up.
The phone wasn't physically capable of using enough data to really cause an issue at the time, but what I got now is, holy shit. So,
yeah, most phones are more powerful than space shuttle.
You know, it's funny, I looked at it, the processor in my cell phone blows the processor in a laptop I have that's so maybe 4 years old. I mean, just blows it out of the water, and it's just like, what the hell? So, you know, to the point that I was investigating building a USB dock to just hook my phone up and have a desktop on it, which kind of got working. It was kind of goofy, but more trouble than it was really worth to use.
I'm constantly dreaming about basically a home PC that I can just plug my phone into. And I know they've experimented with it before.
Oh, Ubuntu had something working there for a bit, but I think they've canceled it.
Yeah. It's one day, and you can kind of do it now, but like Android is not really designed for it. Now there's like the crappy version of Windows on phones.
But Microsoft was actually selling that you could do that with the Windows 10 on the phone. So
yeah, but
they
it's
were selling
still
those laptop things again. Anyway,
whatever happened to the Windows Phone? I haven't seen those in forever.
They're still going. They run Windows 10, and apparently people sometimes buy them.
Yeah, that's pretty much all
I've
you can say about
it. I've been demoing MDM solutions at work. They're an option in all of them. I mean, it's they must exist because this major software I'm paying that has to spend stupid amounts of money to develop this crap is, you know, all of the ones I've been testing, they've supported Windows Phone. They've all supported BlackBerry as well, now that I think about it. But that's not the point. Next article up is from the New York Times. This is from a little earlier last week. So during the attempted coup in Turkey, man, this article is written, this article is written from the first person view of the author, and I always hate that because it makes them hard to read on air. So the guy's going on about how his plane didn't make it out. Turkey's leading cell phone provider topped up the internet allowance of every subscriber. This was more than unusual. Turkey has experienced many crises recently, including the deadly terrorist attack, usually leading to the closure of information flows, not the government aligned service provider making it easier to transmit information. The reason was simple. In the confusing hours after the coup attempt began, the country had heard from President Erdogan, and we're not going to try to say the rest of his name, we're just going to call him Erdogan, and learned that he was alive, and that he called the television station via FaceTime. As the camera focused on the iPhone in the anchor's hand, the president called the people of Turkey to take to the streets. So, this guy normally tries to censor the internet. This guy's tried to shut it down, he's tried to censor it, and when they did the coup, they didn't, I don't want to read this whole article. When they did the coup, they didn't shut down the internet. So the president was making calls out to the people, and a lot of analysts stateside say that the people doing the coup fucked up and not controlling the information flow, and that might be why the coup failed. Is that, you know, the guy went on the internet and screamed, "I'm still alive." So.
The reason the coup failed is they didn't wait till he was going to be in one of their helicopters flying to wherever they needed to take him to so they could crash it into the side of a fucking building.
Yeah. So.
Poor planning.
Or the person who caused the coup was the leader himself to get rid of.
Oh, there's so much going on. I just thought it was interesting that they did not shut the internet down, and the state provided the phone company actually gave everybody more minutes so they could get on and see what the hell was going on.
I do keep hearing very like suspiciously coincidental stories about how he bravely escaped capture at the resort, and he left like 15 minutes early. And then when he was on his jet, like one of the coup people were flying a fighter jet, and they had him in their sights, but they didn't take the shot. And like, yeah, I don't know, man.
What I find amazing is that, you know, the guy FaceTimes his news agency, and they hold an iPhone up to the camera. That's just them trying to look like, oh, we're in some kind of a situation. See what we're doing. We're holding an iPhone with a camera. Nobody had a fucking Apple TV or a Mac that you could, you know, do the screen mirroring thing to.
Yeah.
Chromecast, hell, I mean, something so that you could get a better picture than holding a phone up to the camera. I mean, you know, 13-year-olds on YouTube do that to show TV shows. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it just sort of seems like, hey man, you know, it'd be a really good idea to get absolute power. We should do this.
Well, you know, that's pretty much what they're doing right now as we speak, isn't it? Like, they're voting.
Oh, yeah, they're bombing the shit out of the quote unquote people who planned the coup.
Oh, yeah, and I think the government just voted to Erdogan a bunch of new, like, emergency powers and stuff that are, of course, temporary. Don't worry, guys, they're temporary.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally not going to use any of it, you know, like.
I believe that they've, like, repealed their, what is it, their human rights.
it's only until we get this under control.
Yeah,
you know, like and anybody who has any academic or constitutional reason to flee from me right now is absolutely forbidden, because we're going to hunt you motherfuckers down.
They also said if you were an academic, you weren't allowed to leave the country, or an expert in your field or whatever. So, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, I'll be honest. I put in the story as a bit of a troll. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Because no one here cares about international politics.
No, at all.
You know, we're just all about Pokemon Go and the latest Facebook fads. Speaking of, have you done the eyeball hot sauce challenge?
Oh, God. No, We're raising money for this thing called Brining for Breast Cancer.
No.
We're going to unroll it in October.
No. We're not doing that one.
It's my evil plan. I'll unleash it when I feel like it.
We're not doing the brining thing. Somebody will fucking do it and die this month.
It's the hot sauce challenge. How long can you take hot sauce in your eye? We're raising money for stupidity.
Raising money for stupidity, nothing. If you fail the challenge of getting at least 10 seconds, you got to go to my PayPal account and we're going to get a data center for the station is what we're going to do.
I want a call center. I just want to have 1,000 Indians working for me.
Well, we can arrange that.
I have a buck 25 lying around.
We'll just script it up in Python with some VoIP provider, and we can have it pretend it's 1,000 Indians. Though I'll be calling you, though. I don't know why you really want that, but, you know, hey.
At least people will be calling MOPS, and I'll feel popular.
They're all going to be trying to help you out with the virus on your computer.
So, speaking of Pokemon Go and the virus on your computer, so apparently somebody went on Google Play and put up a fake Pokemon Go app that installs the screen locker malware on your phone.
Yes!
So, if you don't know what screen locker is, it's somebody attempting to do ransomware on the Google phone, and instead of re-encrypting all your files, because modern Android phones, it's already encrypted, it just changes the passcode and locks you out. Nice. If you want your passcode back, you know, Bitcoin is $500 or whatever it is. And, yeah, so, you know, especially on things like Google where the apps aren't quite as reviewed and they have to get reported and taken down, really pay attention to what you're installing and make sure it's what you mean to install. And, you know, like if you're looking for something that's stupid popular like Pokemon Go, you know, you're probably better off going to the top lists rather than searching for it. Especially if the icon's off or something looks weird or all the reviews are people saying don't install this, it locks your fucking phone. Just a thought. You know, look at the reviews before you install shit. Just a saying. And that goes for anything, especially on Google Store, browser add-ons, hell, even the iPhone. Even though its App Store is a little bit more moderated, but you know, pay attention to what the fuck you're installing.
Yep.
Or if you don't want to, just make sure you keep your local IT guy in one.
Or if you get your hands on the phone of somebody you really hate, go get the fake Pokemon Go app on their phone so they get screen lockered.
Oh, that's evil. Just change the language to Chinese. They can fix it and you'll get just as much laughs. Just as many.
Yeah, we had to use a fucking Google search and watch a video and how to fix that shit. That was hilarious.
Yep.
For the record, who needs enemies?
I have done that with my phone once.
And for the record, no one has asked me to get their phone for them ever since.
Oh, and lastly, a quickie article here from Newsweek. Artificial intelligence is disrupting everything from board games to betting industry. How about the world's oldest beverages? London-based Intelligent X is the world's first firm to brew beer with the help of artificial intelligence. The startup is using an algorithm called Automated Brewing Intelligence to collect customer feedback data through a Facebook Messenger bot in order to improve the recipes of its beer. This is actually a legitimate use of one of these chat bots, is just collecting feedback from people. Because, I mean, shit like a Facebook Messenger or Twitter, things people are already using. Going in there and say, hey, if you're drinking our beer, let us know what you think so we can make it better. I think that's a legitimate use.
Oh, yeah.
So,
as long as you don't have to give an email or a phone number or your real name.
Yeah, you just, you know,
otherwise it's just data harvesting.
Yeah. We're doing something exciting, says Intelligent X co-founder Rob McLearney, who has recently completed a PhD in machine learning at Oxford University. We do think about the future. What we think AI is really allowing us to do is to have conversations with all of our customers and actually allow their feedback, so not just determine what adverts we show them, but really what product they actually getting is. So yeah, they're saying we're not using this to figure out what ads to show them. We're actually going to tailor the beer to the feedback we're getting to try to, you know, make a better product, not just sell you something that's shit. Budweiser. Excuse me, I don't know where that came from.
Hey. I like Budweiser.
King of beers.
Anyways, I don't know. Anybody else?
It also has rice in it. I want to point that out for anyone who was wondering.
So, how long before
rice
the beer feedback
to Asia?
I just want to know how long before the beer feedback bot is a Nazi white supremacist. What else did they do to the Microsoft one? I forget now. They had it saying all kinds of crazy shit.
Oh yeah, but that was general information. This is going to be people that like beer. They'll try to protect it.
Until they've had one too many.
Oh yeah, then they're going to fucking cuss it out. It's going to commit suicide.
Hey, beer bot, blow me.
Right.
They want their beer to taste like semen.
Yo!
Hadouken! All right, I have got two links tonight for Digital Dojo. It's all about ebooks. The first one, lost the IRC, there it is. The first one is a blog post from the MSDN blog. Apparently, the top, I didn't even bother to read it. It's somebody talking about how wonderful of a guy he is and how he makes money from home and other marketing bullshit. But he's got an amazing amount of PDFs and ebooks about Windows and Microsoft stuff all over this blog post that are free to download. Got like the Windows 10 volume licensing reference guide, which is a pain in the ass if anybody's ever had to deal with that shit. Several guides on Windows 10, Exchange, some Office stuff. They got the Microsoft Business Intelligence stuff on here, Azure, some PowerShell. So if you have to deal with any kind of a higher level Windows stuff, this is pretty useful. Even though it's a lot of it's just old references and shortcut sheets and stuff like that, but I mean, he's got a ton of books on here. SQL Server, so that's another good one. Agile with open source programming for the Windows Store. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on here. He's even got the Surface manuals on here. But so if you got to deal with a Microsoft shop, good link to have. For those of you who don't like Microsoft and want to read something else, I have a free ebook on learning the Unix platform called Unix for the Beginning Mage. And it's written by somebody who is LARPing as a wizard as they wrote this manual. And it is quite hilarious.
You know, I kind of going to read this possibly just because of the hilarity. I'm flashing on installing Red Hat just because you could do it in Redneck at one point.
But let me just read to you from the first chapter here. Casting your first spell. To cast a spell, you simply type the name of the spell and press enter. Let's try a simple spell called Who Am I? So here's your picture of a prompt. Joe, who am I? Joe. Casting the Who Am I spell. Yeah, they were LARPing as a wizard as they wrote the manual. So, however, it's actually decent. There's enough decent information here on working a Unix console that if you're not already familiar with it or, you know, you want to learn a little bit more about how to actually interact with the command line on a Linux or a Mac, it's a decent read as long as you can chuckle at yourself and never, ever call it the PS spell in a business meeting because they're not going to know what you're on about. What are you doing?
I'm
invoking top.
I summoning it's better than a dry manual, you know.
Yeah,
he's so tried to spice it up a bit.
I am summoning the Python to build a black hole. You're black holing your Python. Wait a minute, that means something else.
Wow.
Yeah. The pie hole was a Raspberry Pi project. Anyways, yeah, things got weird. But.
Very.
Are you putting on your robe and wizard hat?
They're in the washing machine. And stains on them.
Terrible stains.
I'm stopping that joke Many. Now. Things are getting bad. So, I don't...
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Save a tree! Burn a book! Save a tree! Burn a book!
That's all I've really got tonight. Anybody else have anything before I close out the show?
Not tonight.
Past end of line.
Yeah. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. We recently redesigned the website. I've been talking with Big a bit. We're working on some non-audio content for the site, some articles on how to do some content production. Yeah. So that's all I got for tonight. And...